flicks a switch. Welcome to the 149th episode of the Sane Asylum. I am your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. Some people call me the G-Man, and we're sorry to report that we just discovered this 2 minutes ago. Our guest for tonight, the legendary Paul Tapete of Poker Face, is sick, really sick. We just talked to him. He tried everything to be show-worthy, but we're going to postpone his appearance for 2 weeks. So 2 weeks from tonight, we're gonna, just like science fiction and Marvel and DC comics now, everybody's got multiverse and timelines. We're gonna look in 2 weeks at a timeline with Paul Tapete, where the legendary Michael Collins Piper, long ago when they were both writing for the American Free Press, told Paul, "You should be President Paul Tapete." So in 2 weeks, we're gonna have Paul on, and we're gonna discuss the President Paul Tapete administration, but not tonight. But you know what? All is not lost, because we have the legendary visionary of 7 years of Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, and now he's on Saturday nights with the exceptionally good Snack Shack Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. So welcome, Frederick C. Blackburn, a.k.a. Blackbird Nine. Sorry about the last minute, but hey, man, if you would have heard him, Sam heard him. He's sick as a dog, so we can't put him through it.
Greetings, good sir. Happy Sunday and happy Father's Day, yeah, to everyone. And this has got to be a conspiracy, because if you will recall, last time we tried to do this, I was the one who got sick and had to bail at the last minute because
that's
I
right.
Yeah. So obviously a conspiracy afoot here.
Oh yeah, there's the 5G and nano gain of function and
yes,
allergens and pathogens and the Crypticon cranking it out at 24/7. And but you know what? They can knock us down, but they can't keep us down. So in 2 weeks,
right,
we'll give
two
it another
weeks
shot.
This is, yep, gonna happen. 2 weeks. Meanwhile, so, you get lots of vitamin C, because I don't want Nick, you know, to be your turn next, right?
Absolutely, yep. No, I do take a lot of good stuff these days, and it works. So we're so how are you, Frederick? I haven't talked to you. We've our oldest four huskies, she nearly died 16 days ago, and we've been doing everything and brought her back from the brink, but she's now disabled in the back end, so we've been spending a lot of time trying to get used to that, but the good news is she's really doing well. It was amazing. I'll have to tell you offline everything we did. So in the future, if you have any people with their beloved critters, and I got some really, it's proven now. I had some hypothetical thoughts on things, and we went into acute trauma treatment mode, and it worked. So I'll tell you offline how, what I mean.
What a horrible story. I'm so sorry about your husky and y'all having to go through that. Yeah. It's rough when, you know, it's bad enough when people are sick, but when your critters are sick,
oh, I know.
It's just another level of care, you know.
Oh, so, it really is. It really is.
Another different bag of tricks you have to learn for various critters, you know.
It's so true. It's so true. So how have you been? What have you been up to?
Oh, just basically playing catch up after 2 weeks solids of just, you know, back-to-back white coat madness, right? And so just having to do a lot of advocacy work of bringing people in to deal with white coat health exams and tests and all this other stuff. And, you know, that was definitely an experience. Got to go to the new Schaefer Kite Dyke Center that, you know, was built. You remember we talking about how while I was last summer taking someone to death ray cancer treatment every day all summer, got to watch the diversity crews building this, you know, Schaefer Center of, you know, Appalachian Health. And you just know that somebody who's best friends with, you know, CIA asset Gloria Steinem, you know, these chicks go around the world, you know, to fix all these countries with philanthropy and feminist views. You know that, you know, coming into Mayberry, you know, that they just, you know, they loved white Christian Boone, North Carolina so much, they just had to come in and dump all this money on it to fix us. Right? So, you know, they really care about our health care, but everything was diversity work. No local people worked on this project at all, right? And going in for the first time, and not a single faceplate on any of the outlets or any of the medical gear. It's in a straight line. Everything's cockeyed. You wonder if any of it's even wired in properly, right? But this is diversity, you know, standards. And, you know, just holes in the wall where it's obvious they put something in the wrong place, and when they removed it, didn't bother to patch the drywall or anything. So this brand new hospital wing, you know, looks like it's, you know, spent 20 years in a third world country, right? So, you know, that was definitely an experience of, you know, this new health, you know, that we have up here now. That's what happens when, you know, chicken swinger NGOs come in and take over your health care, especially during COVID. They really showed themselves during the COVID, you know, even by Roy Cooper standards, our governor, they were going far beyond everything that he was demanding, even in this new Mandy Cohen. They were always bringing her in to sell the COVID clot shot Jew jab to, you know, white Christian Watauga to get rid of us so they could, you know, bring in the third world to replace us, right? Meanwhile, Jews are grabbing all the positions of power in the county. But anyway, so that's basically what I've been doing so far, and it's not even summer yet, right?
Well, here's a question, and I know we've had previous discussions where you're like, soft power isn't working, but, you know, you've got, like, your roots and many of the other people, you were a very homogenous, high-trust community there, and granted they've come in, and granted the parasites have bought, you know, thrown some money around, but what you probably talk to the other locals. I mean, aren't they sick of it? I mean, there are greater steps that can be taken. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, the locals, one, did not ever buy into the COVID craziness. All the people that were really pushing the COVID craziness were all these carpetbaggers coming in here, you know, because we do have the university, you know, to bring all those liberal intellectuals in here.
Right.
But, you know, that was who was pushing it. And the locals just really got, roughshod on. And I think they're waking up to the fact that they are being invaded, especially all these NGO groups that are bussing in all these Mexicans and south of the border people from, you know, Texas and Arizona, New Mexico. I mean, it's amazing the pipeline they've got set up between, you know, the border to Greensboro, North Kakalaki, to Boone, North Kakalaki, and then all these welcoming arm, you know, NGO groups that are going to be putting them in school, registering the vote, getting them welfare, you know, building, you know, Section 8 low-cost housing so we have our own Mexican slums, right? You know, and it meant, you know, Muslim slums. It's like everybody's just flooding in here, and, you know, all these, you know, new mega churches, you know, non-denominational mega churches that are, you know, being, you know, led by all these out-of-towners that are heading up all these NGOs And it's this big money laundering operation because they're all getting all this kickback money. Yeah, you just trace it from George Soros through the various, you know, do-gooder organizations that, you know, and to the government grant organizations. And so it's just this fourth, fifth generation paper trail of all this money that these people are getting rich, destroying our way of life. You know, and they think it's they've got the moral, ethical, and intellectual high ground. You know, they're global citizens. You know, that was the big thing when Jezebel Everett took over the university. You know, she's going to train everybody to be global citizens.
What a great observation. And as you've observed, I mean, what was it, about 10 years ago, they started the Global Citizen concerts where all the big names each year give, and they have these people coming out talking about global citizens. So it's literally, they started a long time ago, even before they branded it the Build Back Better Great Reset. They started foreshadowing it and working towards it all, did they not?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, this is like we've talked about so often. Yeah, they're playing the long game, and that whole global citizen PR thing was just classic Edward Bernays. You know, we're leading the masses in this direction, and anybody who doesn't, you know, see it our way is a bad person. And yeah, this is the programming of the NPCs, you know. It's like global citizen good, nationalist, local, white Christian, high trust community bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it just angers me so much as it does you. Well, Frederick, I think that we can take the first half hour or so of the show tonight and look at some of the breaking stories of the Bolshevik 2.0 assault on our once noble republic, which now is resembling more and more a third world shithole. But this was surprising. This popped up in the last day or two. Producer Sam, if you could play clip number... let's see, let me go slow. These mouses, they go too fast when you don't want them to, and then not fast enough when they do. Let's see, which clip is it? Clip number 11, Sam, please. This is pretty wild. Lesser Brethren Roseanne Barr, who used to be an A-list star, right? Used to be on top of the world with her show with what's his name, the guy, the actor who lost all that weight. I can't think of his name.
John Goodman.
Go ahead.
It was just Roseanne show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Roseanne show. That's right. And I would put her as a C-list celebrity now. I mean, her time at the top of the mountain is gone. But you know what? She is a Lesser Brethren, as I just mentioned, but she has really turned on her Talmudic overlords. And she was on a podcast with a young fella. And it's kind of funny, if you watch the video, she's sitting there smoking a cigarette like she's in a bar 30 years ago. But holy cow, does she drop some truth bombs. So let's listen to this and then we'll discuss it afterwards.
There's always been a ceiling on speech, hasn't there, in a way?
Of course. Nobody wants to hear the real truth. They're horrified of it. They'd rather go with bullshit. It's easier.
And
like for the real truth that, you know, and I'm glad that they did set up all these guidelines so that we only are allowed to speak the truth. And the truth is that Biden got 81 million votes by winning 36 counties. And that is just incredible. It really, really is. And that of these 81 million supporters who gave him more votes than any president has ever gotten before. He came with a mandate from these 81 million voters. And, you know, I'm just glad that they were very careful to make sure that nobody could detract from that proven truth. You know what I mean?
Like, what do you mean? Like that nobody...
That they mandated that that was the truth and that nobody could say, well, what about no?
Oh, it was made a mandate.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So the government made it a mandate?
Yeah, because, you know, YouTube did, and so did all the social...
Oh, so you can't speak, you can't even speak on that in those platforms.
No, you can't say, you know...
That it wasn't.
You can't say that, like, you know,
the election was rigged. Or,
yeah,
right.
That's all a lie. The election was not rigged. 36 counties can give you 81 million votes.
Right.
That's a fact.
So it wasn't rigged?
Of course not.
Yeah.
36 counties have 81 million people in them.
Yeah.
See? That's the truth. And don't you dare say anything against it, or you'll be off YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and all the other ones, because we have, you know, there's such a thing as the truth and facts, and we have to stick to it. And, you know,
it's scary.
And that is the truth. And nobody died in the Holocaust either. No. That's the truth.
Yeah.
It should happen. 6 million Jews should die right now because they cause all the problems in the world, but it never happened. But it never happened.
Yeah.
Mandated.
Well, you're.
I guess we can stop there. Jewish, right? There's that's the bomb drop, that Frederick. How about that? Shit. So,
go ahead. Yeah, a lot to unpack in there, right?
Yeah, and there you go.
Somebody's, you know, when that got sent to me, at first I thought it was a deep fake, and I was like, "Wow, this is a good one," you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, "Oh my God, this is a real interview," you know, and. It was good to see the whole segment because I had just, you know, people keep sending me that one little section. And it's like, well, I want to hear the whole interview. So it was good to be able to hear the whole interview to put everything in context. But what's even more shocking than her saying that is the deafening silence that you hear all weekend from Mockingbird Media. And I bet, you know, it's like just, you know, waiting for somebody to acknowledge that this happened. You know, and nobody's talking about it. It's just stunned silence, right? And you can just see, you know, the ghost of Irv Rubin of the Jewish Defense League, you know, putting her on the top of his hit list, you know, because you're a self-hating Jew, you know, and that gives us the right to, you know, put a contract out on you like we did with Dave Cole, you know, with and Dave Stein. We had to change his name and go underground. Yeah, because you can't say that the Holocaust didn't happen. You know, that's the whole basis of the New World Order, and that, you know, she makes the distinction between her Jewishness and the Hollywood Babylon, you know, version, you know, which is that Zabatean Frankist Illuminati, you know, flavor.
Shabbatist.
The Chabad Lubavitch crowd. So, yeah, that was definitely an interesting little clip. What was your, what did you think when you heard it?
Well, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, that is what everybody thinks. I mean, if you're going to play that card for over a century, that 6 million Jews tragically died and the eternal victims, that, you know, at least one time it should happen. And so I'm with her, but I mean, that's amazing that she would come on and say it like that. It's and the deafening silence. If it would have been anybody else, man, would they have been all over it? Like, let's say Handsome Truth had said that, right? Holy cow! Yeah,
you know that whole thing. You know, the topper. You know, in comedy, you always have the joke and then the topper, right? And, you know,
yep.
You know, the bombshell was, you know, 6 million Jews did not die in the Holocaust. The topper was, but they should.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And it's like,
oh my God.
You know, she just went to, you know, beyond, what's beyond the third rail here, you know, the meta third rail.
Climbing up and hugging the 5G tower, I think. Holy cow, yeah. Well, that was, if she wanted to make herself edgy and gain traction in the indie media, you know, mission accomplished. So that, you know,
I mean, any idea how many times that clip has been seen? I'm sure they're messing with the numbers on it like they always do with our videos.
Who the heck was telling me in one of our private Skype chats, somebody was saying people have been playing it on other shows. I mean, I've been so busy with our Huskies and everything that, and man, I'll tell you what, one of the things Paul would have talked about is this electroculture where you wrap uncoated copper on like a little wood stick and you put it in your garden, and it's the energy really helps at the root level, really helps the plants grow. We tried it, and I'll have to send you some pictures within a month. You know, we put these little copper wrapped sticks in our raised beds and these little plants, and now they're monster plants. And we've already been harvesting zucchini and squash and beans. I mean, way ahead of other people in the area. So
it works. I'm really fascinated with this whole concept and definitely want to try it out. Of course, yeah, we're having to completely redesign our whole strategy up here because we got pushed up above the rock line in the great battle for Blackjack Mountain, which we lost. So it's like, you know, okay, what can we do with buckets and no sunshine? And we're on the north face of a rock trying to grow corn on Rocky Top, as they say. But, you know, the whole whole thing with the, you know, using the copper and the electromagnetics of this is just fascinating to me, because, you know, studied that, you know, for a long time, you know, the idea of, you know, how much effect positive and negative can various frequencies and various amplitudes of, you know, EMF have on plants and animals, right? And so it's interesting when you have those harmonic, you know, things, it's beneficial. And when you have those dissonant frequencies like 440, you know, it's bad for you.
Great point. And for listeners, may or may not know that when you originally, was it A? Yes, A used to be tuned to 432, and that's why the recorded orchestras and music of the 20s and 30s was so beautiful. And then through so-called a global agreement, it was moved, but it was really driven by those Rockefeller parasites, I believe, to move it to 440, exactly, which is a little bit more of a dissonant frequency. And I you've probably done it. I have. I've tuned my guitar to fourth. I have a tuner that you can choose exactly what you want for A. And I've played in the standard tuning, and then I've dropped it down to 432. It is way better and way different.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, because, I pretty much stopped doing music, you know, but if I ever get back to doing music, I'm definitely going to be doing, you know, open tunings and, you know, 432 tunings and things like that. One of my favorite books back when I was at university was Hermann Helmholtz's Sensation of Tone in the 1800s, and he was, you know, basically saying, you know, this is the mathematics of sound, this is how you hear sound, and this is how sound can be used for good and for, you know, nefarious things, you know, basically that, you know, you can weaponize sound. And, you know, so it's just interesting that, you know, you have that type of science that Rockefeller would be basing his, you know, universal mandates here, the universal standards. I'm going to fix music like he fixed the medical syndicate, right? Because, you know, Rockefeller Medicine, he was the driving force before, you know, that gave us this current, you know, number one killing machine known as the White Coats of Baphomet, you know, that the American Medical Syndicate. So, you know, there's a lot to that, you know, healing and growth. And so I'm really curious to see that you're having good luck with it, because that'll inspire me to try even harder up here.
Oh, I'll tell you, my wife has done tons of research, and I'll get the videos from her. But the secret to raised bed gardens is at the very bottom, you put like large stumps of wood, right? Let's just say you're using like a 2-foot galvanized oval container. There's a company called Ola Gardens. That's where we bought ours, out of California, and they sent it to you, and all the screws and everything, and you can make this nice 2-foot high raised bed garden. The key is you don't just fill it all with dirt. You start at the bottom with like big pieces of wood, you know, that are densely put together, and then the intermediate layer is like you know, compost and mulch, and each layer, so like the wood should be like a foot thick of wood branches and twigs and everything. Then the next layer is mulch and compost. That's about 6 to 9 inches. And then you put your dirt on, which only is about 9 to 12 inches. And what's so cool, and why we're getting the results, according to my wife, who is much more of an expert than me, is the roots then can go down, and they're not blocked by like rocks or, you know, in Virginia, probably North Carolina, same thing, a lot of clay dirt and all that at certain levels. They can really expand and be able to properly feed. And then when you put in those little electrocultures and get that energy down at the roots, it's really amazing, Fred. I'll get you some very compelling videos to watch in the next week or so.
Yeah, that, you know, getting root bound, as they say, is one of those big newbie mistakes where you don't have enough space for the root ball to develop. And so your stuff will like grow normally, and then it'll just die on you.
Yep.
You know, because, okay, I just outgrew my space here because the water, I mean, the soil around me was too packed, like that North Kakalaki red clay.
there you go, Virginia, for, you know?
Yeah, so those raised beds, and I like the idea of putting the, you know, wood down first and you know, having your soil on the top, because the earth probably holds in the moisture really well as well.
Exactly. Yeah. We're and we have got no weeds in any of our raised beds because of this as well, which is really amazing.
Now that's another added benefit.
For sure. Well, my wife has sent me all these videos. I'll ask her to pick out like the best half dozen and I'll get them to you so you can start investigating it all. But you know, I guess we should get back to what's going on, which is the Bolshevik 2.0 attack on this country. Sam, if you could cue up clip number 6. This is really disturbing. This is Cheka, USA Cheka at their finest, where this clip is U.S. Representative Matt Rosendrake describing the outrageous Cheka-like raid of a Montana gun store owner. And this is chilling that they're pulling this, honestly.
There was 20 IRS agents armed with ARs that stormed this guy's store. Tom Van Hoos, I met with him this morning. I stopped by the store to see if he could give me any more details. And they went through and searched his facility. He said they were polite, but, you know, people tend to be a little bit more polite and mannerly when everyone's walking around with an AR threatening them. This is stormtrooper type activity, and we are not used to seeing it in our country whatsoever. And this is the kind of activity that demonstrates why we were trying to, in the House of Representatives, to defund those additional 87,000 IRS agents. Now, here's what they took out. IRS, right? Financial records, accounting, making sure what transactions were taking place. No. They took all of the 4473 forms. The 4473 forms are what everyone fills out when they go to purchase a firearm. And it's just a big disclosure to make sure that you don't have a criminal background or other reasons where you should not be purchasing a firearm. So the IRS took every single one of the 4473s that Tom Van Hoos had in his possession there at Highwood Creek Outfitters. And I am concerned that this is another attempt by the IRS to create a database on people that they can target for being conservatives because they want to own their own firearm.
Now, Congressman, look, I mean, we're seeing a pattern here. They're going after moms and dads who speak out of school board meetings, going after pro-lifers, going after former President Trump, the guns-drawn pre-dawn raids. This is exactly what's happening in this administration. Thank you for...
All right, I guess we'll stop there, Frederick. And that's ridiculous, man. IRS going in just to try and get the Bolshevik 2.0 wet dream of no guns in the hands of Americans, which is never going to happen.
Well, yeah, the fact that this was IRS, not ATF or FBI or SBI, the state level,
right.
Just really, to me, was a test of a power grab. Because the idea of an IRS team, you know, outfitted team, going to a business and, like you said, doing counterintelligence work of getting these forms, which basically tells the type of firearm, who you are, and your address, and your driver's license number, you know, all those things you have to put on, this particular form. You know, I've had to fill these out myself. And that, yeah, so they're going in not to get accounting records, et cetera, that we think that you're not paying your taxes. No, we're going to the break.
Here we go to the break. Stay tuned with more of the brilliant Frederick C. Blackburn. And then next hour, we'll open the phone lines. Stay tuned after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Pray to the Father.
It is an honor, as always, to be joined by my co-host, the brilliant Frederick C. Blackburn, a.k.a. Blackburn 9, who just recently ended a magnificent seven-year run of the King of Wednesday Night, the Blackburn 9's Breakfast Club. But, Frederick, tell people how they can follow you now.
Now the big thing is the Saturday Night Snack Shack at 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's a new format that we're having a lot of success with, at least we're having fun with it. But basically, it's a one-hour show. I bring on a different guest every week, and we talk, and then at the bottom of the hour, we have phone calls where people, the listeners call in and either bring up something totally off topic or bring up questions for the guests. So we're having a lot of fun with it, and that's going out simulcast or multicast on, you know, both RBNs, Speak Free, Spreaker, and various AM and FM radio stations around the world. So tune in and join us on Saturdays.
Awesome. And now at the bottom of the hour break, commercials, because it takes money to run Republic Broadcasting, the house that John Stadtmiller built, who tragically passed far too young. And if you can afford it, please go to the RBN store or donate or sign up, buy some products and use the codes, because it's not easy for the people who are trying to, the dedicated people who are trying to keep RBN on the air. And it'd be a far darker place for people interested in what's really going on in the world, the truth community, if RBN had to turn out the lights. So if you can support Republic Broadcasting, go to the website and please do so. All right, Frederick, so we're looking at the Bolshevik 2.0 nuttiness. And I and this is really interesting. Let's go to clip number one, Sam. The blatant use of satanic mind control and imagery. I mean, we saw it a few months ago. I mean, I didn't see it in person. I watched the clip afterwards. I can't stomach that nonsense these days. With that tub of goo, Sam Smith, who's now an it because he was a homo, and then he decided, I don't even understand what it all is about anymore. And then he had some tranny, and they were singing, and they were acting out like a satanic ritual. And then this young man is observing that this is going on blatantly now at the stadium and giant arena concerts by these current Illuminati propped up pop music acts. So listen to this.
The crazy conspiracy theory that with every massive stadium tour going on right now, that there are a lot of demonic messages being unwillfully taken in by the huge crowds every night. At Beyonce's Stadium Renaissance World Tour, there's a scary interlude that takes fans by surprise that begins with a portal hypnosis, as if to control you and draw you in. Then it gets scary when messages like, whoever controls the media controls the mind, pop up on the screen. Then it's terrifying when mind control messages pop up on the screen in between placements of Beyonce's face and a picture of a human in a submissive, worshipy pose. Fans were saying they were getting so uncomfortable during this part they were looking away. Second, the known suspected Satanist The Weeknd was so shameless and blatantly, for no reason, flashed Satan's name on the Jumbotron at his stadium concert. He's not even hiding his affinity for Satan at this point. It actually flashed twice. I'm making sure that you saw it. Fans and viewers often said they felt very uncomfortable at his whole run of his stadium tour because the thing just felt like one big demonic ritual that they were forced to be a part of. There's literally a demonic chant screened by all the fans at the Taylor Swift Eras Tour during her song Willow, and they all yell, "Summon the demons."
Summon the demons, fans!
Summon the demons!
They do this as Taylor is literally dressed as a witch with her whole coven, and there's a ceremonial huge fire in the middle of the forest. Does that remind you of anything?
Well, Frederick, that is not the concerts we attended when we were teenagers. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how they just kind of keep pushing the Overton window in that direction of the counterculture being, yep, you know, basically at its root, Sabbatean, Francus, you know, Luciferian Satan worship. This was, you know, that whole, you know, system, and that they embraced that Kabbalistic Zohar system and, you know, the Crowley system, and incorporated it into, you know, the birth of Hollywood. You know, there's a reason why everyone always refers to, you know, Hollywood as Babylon. Even, right, you know, Jews refer to it as Babylon. And so it's just, you know, more and more and more. But it's interesting that this snowflake culture of everybody trying to create themselves into a brand image and be more shocking than everybody else trying to create themselves into a brand image. Right. You know, it's like, oh, well, we'll just be darker than everyone else. And they lose fact that, you know, they're really losing their audiences, I think, with this. But again, you know, Taylor Swift out there, I mean, her tickets are going for something like on an average $5,000 and selling out every venue. And, you know, think of who her target audience is these, you know, tween and teenage girls mainly. Yep. And that, you know, she's saying, oh, you know, witchcraft and Satanism is cool. You know, demon worship is cool. You know, and you think the transition from Hannah Montana into Miley Cyrus, you know, she's another one that's just really pushing everybody down the hole and calling it progressive because they're global citizens.
Well, there you go. More of these global citizens. And speaking of pushing the Overton window, producer Sam, if you could cue up clip number two, the you don't have to say alleged child rapist Biden, because I was just actually earlier today reading a scanned image of his daughter's actual diary that got released. And it right there, she's saying that my father used to sexually molest me. I wouldn't take showers until 4 in the morning because when I was sure they were asleep, otherwise he'd join me in the shower. And this sick career criminal, child abuser, child raper is had this event at the White House. And Frederick, you probably know with your family's military background, there is a federal law that you can the United States flag never plays second fiddle to any other flag. And yet we saw a couple days ago, and we'll play this clip to hear it, that they had the latest faggot flag out there. And this just isn't the homo flag. There's now a light blue, light pink, and brown and white V to it, which I covered in last week's show, which is the light blue means for pedophilia with little boys. The light pink means pedophilia with little girls. The white means pedophilia with infant virgin type children. And this is so sick. And so listen to this montage of this embarrassing half-dead goof who the Synagogue of Satan just installed, as we heard in the first half hour, where Roseanne Barr observed that, yeah, he got 81 million votes and he won 36 counties. Of course it's real. And so this is what you get when you allow the Talmudic Synagogue of Satan to utterly control you. This is what you get, shifting the Overton window to the Talmudic wet dream of legalized pedophilia in the third world shithole that was once the United States of America. Go ahead, Sam. Please.
Welcome to the White House.
Thank you.
Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Year. Happy Pride Life.
Yeah!
Transgender children.
You are beautiful.
You are heard.
You belong.
You are understood.
You are loved.
And you belong.
That's
the bravest, most inspiring people I've ever known.
I mean, you're welcome.
You're good folks.
Can we take a little video? Hi, Mr. President. It is an honor. Trans rights are human rights. Oh, it's a video.
Oh, it's a video. Gorgeous Gucci.
So that's the tranny dude talking to Biden who showed off his fake breasts at the White House.
Are we topless at the White House?
Okay, that's enough of that disgusting garbage, Sam. Frederick, I mean, I'm 60. I'll be 64 in 2 months. I cannot believe that this country, this Talmudic, Sabbatean Frankist, Chabadist cancer that is just metastasized everywhere. And they're literally trying to indoctrinate the average American Yahoo to accept this as normal. I mean, it's not working, clearly. I mean, look at the pushback on brands like Bud Light and Target and North Face and all that. They're costing their shareholders literally billions with a B of investment dollars in value. And it's all it's falling apart, in my opinion, but still – Biden is beyond an embarrassment. He's just literally satanically evil, in my opinion.
Right. But, you know, it's one of those things where you're trying to destroy the old symbols of the Republic and replace them with the new global citizen symbols, which,
right.
you know, basically is the Israeli flag for Greater Israel and the Talmudic Noahide flag laws, which is the rainbow flag, right? You yep. know, that's, you know, for, you know, global Gentiles, global Goyim, you're under the Noahide laws. You can do anything you want as long as you obey these seven rules, right? But, you know, we're, you know, in charge, right? And, you know, this idea of just desecrating the White House with this, and like you spotted out, that, you know, being a military kid and Boy Scouts, one of the things they used to drill into your head and Boy Scouts before it went globo homo was, you know, proper parade procedures, proper flag placement procedures right. for settings. You know, if you're in this setting, this is where the flag goes. If you're in this setting, this is where the flag goes. And that is very serious stuff. And to totally, you know, turn that on its head, I'm sure irritated every military family that saw it, you know, as opposed to people that, and, you know, the other people who understand the, how important those symbols are. But, you know, for this Pride Month, you know, along the same line, somebody sent me a video where they were putting up all those, you know, Pride flags in the UK, and somebody had put up a Union Jack, and the crews that were putting up the Pride flags cut the Union Jack, and rather than, you know, holding it while they cut it, let it fall to the street the ground. Oh, and nobody went to pick it up. But wow. if you had, you know, done that to one of those Pride flags, that would be a hate crime, right?
Yep.
And so that's the thing about here, you know, in the great New Boone, Echo, 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 the bars can fly, you know, Pride flags, you know, outside their establishment, and that's protected. But some kid that dared to go by the synagogue and wave a, you know, swastika flag, that was a hate crime. And they're bringing out all this stuff trying to track this kid down who did that. And it's just the double standards. Like, you know, why is that flag not offensive? You know, the locals here definitely find that Pride flag on the main street of Boone, King Street, very, very offensive. But yeah,
absolutely.
That's the point. They are trying to rub their noses in it. You know, like we said, after 9/11, we had about 200 chicken swingers invade this county with bags of money, and yep. the majority of them were militant homosexuals like the Schaefer Dykes.
Yep.
You know, and just, we are going to destroy Mayberry and call it progress, and we're going to do it with, you know, all these cultural Marxist victim groups, especially the LGBTQ community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing how weaponized these people are, and that they would be so brazen as to take this to the White House and think it was going to fly with the American public. So it's interesting to see how it's going to play out.
Well, it is interesting, and it's almost surreal when rational homosexuals, Sam, if you could queue up clip number 7, which are fighting this tranny pedophilia nonsense, and they call themselves gays against groomers, and I've read interviews where they say they liked it when the homosexuals were left alone. They had their clubs. They were pretty well set with the civil unions, and life was good. And they wanted to fly under the radar because they know when the inevitable blowback's coming at this overreach, they're going to pay a great price. And there's no reason for it because if they just would anyway. Listen to this clip. This is surreal that they're against this.
I mean, we've been called, you've heard it, we've been called Nazis all day, TERFs, what else?
Transphobes.
They'll call you any name in the book, and that's just meant to discredit you so that nobody listens to what you have to say, because what we're actually saying is completely logical and moderate, you know? But now, they've moved the Overton window so much that they look at us as the radicals just because we don't accept all of this madness immediately.
And just to be clear, you identify as lesbian, and you identify as gay.
Yeah.
And
at least not straight.
And those folks over there, they're against you as well.
Yeah, we're old news. Absolutely. You know, we're old news. We don't matter anymore. We're not trendy enough.
Yeah, we're not
We're not plus enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to be more of the plus and less of the LG, I guess.
They claim that they are a part of us, but most of the people over there are straight.
Yeah, it's about identity. I mean, they did the study where like 80%, 70 or 80% of teenage girls that identify as bisexual or non-binary actually don't change any of their behavior. So it's really about like an identity prescription, which I think a lot of it had to do with 2020 and the lockdowns and people not wanting to maybe be a little white girl instead. So they get to like be something else, you know, they get to be a protected class, a minority group.
So right now, how is the community reconciling what's going on? Is there like a civil war happening on this issue?
At least in media. I think when you get LGB and T people together in a non-polarized room, there is many more who see things the way that we do and agree with us than not. It's just the loudest people in the room tend to dominate the news, dominate media, and we're trying to change that.
And there's this overwhelming political pressure and social pressure for a lot of people in LGBT to having to pick a side, and not really on our side. It's really about, you know, unless you're for us, you're against us.
Frederick, I found that fascinating that the homosexual and the lesbian who just want to have some kind of sanity to their lives back and into this country and realize the danger we all face pointed out that it's all these vacuous, shallow, mind-controlled little 15-year-olds who don't want to just be some poor little white girl. They want to identify, but they haven't become lesbians. They're not bi. They're not queer. They just want to be part of something cool. They want to be trendy. I mean, isn't that disgusting?
Yeah, that really is the whole thing of novelty. It's whatever is getting attention. Right. And you have all of an entire generation that's been raised by daycare. You know, you think about it, you know, the divorce rates, you know, in the 80s and up to, you know, the millennials, single moms raising, you know, children in daycare. So you've got 30 kids vying for the attention of 2 to 3 care workers, right? And so it's just who can be more extreme to get attention. And, you know, that is what we have on the streets now. It's these kids, you know, saying, oh, well, whatever I am is bad. That's the first thing, is they have shamed all the white kids into thinking that being a white kid is bad. So you're, you know, fundamentally flawed. So therefore you have to create some new persona that isn't, you know, what you really are. And so that's the psychosis of this, is, you know, denying, you know, who you really are, where you come from. And that's how effective the, you know, the psychological warfare against white children has been. But, you know, this is the product. And also, I don't, you know, discount all the pharmaceuticals that they are pumping these children with, from the vaccines to all the, you know, made-up diseases of attention deficit disorder, to basically identify high IQ, high-functioning white kids and declare that a problem that needs medication. And one of the side effects of this medication is the boys become feminized and the girls become masculinized, you know.
Great points. Well, that is, as usual, very lucid and insightful. But you know what? I've been saying it for years. When is the silent majority, which is the true majority in this country of decent people who are just like not really, haven't up to this point felt threatened of their own existence? Well, they're starting to feel the heat from that fire, and it's getting a little too close. And Sam, if you could cue up clip number 5, we're going to listen to a Texas pastor who went to a city council meeting and had a few things to say.
I'm horrified and ashamed that the city has decided to promote and solicit pride in this city. Pride is nothing to be celebrated. In fact, it's an abomination. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate pride, hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. According to God, we should hate pride, not celebrate it. We should humble ourselves, as virtually the whole room said that we were a nation under God, according to the American flag, and we were a state under God, according to the Texas flag. We should humble ourselves to what the Bible says and not what the small minority here that is a bully would say. In June of 2020, Mayor Jeff Williams officially announced the acceptance of Pride Month in June for the city of Arlington. But I don't understand why we'd celebrate what used to be a crime not long ago. In fact, according to the Texas Penal Code and Section 21.06...
Please be respectful.
Homosexual conduct, a person commits an offense if he engages in deviant sexual intercourse with another individual of the same sex. In fact, that is still on the books today, even though Lawrence versus Texas overruled that in 2003. But God has already ruled that murder, adultery, witchcraft, rape, bestiality, and homosexualities are crimes worthy of capital punishment. Leviticus 20:13, the Bible says, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely put to death, their blood shall be upon them. Romans 1 says that men with men are worthy of death. 2 Peter chapter 2 warns and says that in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The Bible's right that what these people do is filthy. According to the CDC, homosexual men are 230 times more likely to get HIV than straight men. I don't know why we would promote disease and AIDS in our community. Additionally, according to this article of self-reported crimes, the LGBT have an average of 20 to 150 children victims, and including they commit an average of 154 acts on their victims. Now, here's the thing. They say that they love so much, but they hate children. They hate Baptists. They hate Christianity, and they hate God. We should eliminate Pride Month. We should eliminate the LGBT department liaison. We should eliminate the travel page dedicated to LGBT. And everyone in this room should watch the Sodomite Deception, which would clearly illustrate what the Bible says on this issue, providing actual stats instead of bullying people.
Thank you, sir.
There you go, Frederick. I would get up and applaud and cheer that, Reverend. That was well said, wouldn't you say?
Oh, that was a powerful 2 minutes of truth bombs. That was amazing. And
yeah,
so many people need to hear that. And, you know, that's the reality of this, that in, you know, the 1970s, homosexuality was still considered a mental illness and was still criminal in the majority of the states. And it was not through any breakthrough in science that, oh, suddenly we realized that, you know, the science was totally wrong. No, basically you had a bunch of terrorist homosexual Jews who basically started doing a, you know, terror campaign against the American Psychological Association, that if you don't change this, you know, you're all going to die, basically. So it was this total, you know, Stern Gang type, you know, real politic,
right,
you know, move that they did. And everybody's, you know, celebrates the Stonewall riots and this. And it's like you got a bunch of sadistic, you know, mentally ill Jews out there, you know, doing Trotskyite tactics to basically impose their Zabatean Frankist worldview on a white Christian America. And yeah, they did it. And this
they
is where we
it.
Are now from 1974. And now if I say anything, I'm breaking the law here in New Boone because they voted unanimously to have Pride Month.
Well said. And it's often as close as 4 years ago, the World Health Organization considered transsexual and mental illness. You've heard what Frederick and I have to say. After the top of the hour break, we'll hear what you have to say. We'll open up the phones. Stay tuned.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Anymore, Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.